You've just tuned into the SCB Steelers Fan Podcast, sponsored by Body Tech Gym in North Hills, Pittsburgh. Real Steelers talk for hardcore fans. All right, everyone, welcome back to the Black and Gold Airwaves. We are ready to talk some Steelers football. My name is Matt. His name is Mark. What is going on, man?
Well, hey, I'll tell you what. What do you know? These crazy kids in those black and gold uniforms went into Atlanta and pulled out a win in one of those games where we were all set up for them to let us down again, but they didn't. They got the win. Wasn't pretty at times. But it's the NFL. You win, that's the name of the game, and now they have themselves set up. Two home games remaining. Kansas City, Cincinnati. One win this week will get them into the playoffs, and two straight wins will get them the division title. So let's go from there, Matt.
Yeah, that's a pretty sweet place for the Steelers to be in right now. They still absolutely control their own destiny. I still absolutely do not believe they will do it, but that's just because I'm cynical. So,
yeah, you're not cynical. I think this is the problem. They kind of gave us something to hope for now that they went into Atlanta and beat a team that they should beat, because we just haven't been used to that the last few years. So I think it's a realist approach, not so much cynicism.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I consider myself a realist fan, not a homer anyways, and I guess this team has broken our hearts so many times. I expect them to do it again, so that way when it does – or excuse me, I should say if it does happen again, then I can just tell myself, well, I told you so, self. But hopefully I can tell myself that myself was wrong and that myself can yell at myself for not being a positive fan. How about that one?
Well, you know, here's my take on it. I mean, I called the 8-8 last year, and I felt it was the same thing again this year. I said 8-8. So I'm thrilled that I'm wrong. thrilled. But what really terrifies me is if this team goes 9-7 and doesn't make the playoffs, because what really, really worries me is that they'll look at that as, hey, we've improved, we're not making any changes, and that just is not going to work for me. But let's not worry about that yet. Let's just take it a game at a time, and we'll see where we are in the end.
Yeah. There'll be plenty of times this offseason to figure out what happened or why whatever didn't happen should have happened. So,
yeah.
But in any event, you're right. The things for the Steelers right now are going well. Of course, they are still in second place behind the Bengals, but as we said, they control their own destiny. So all they have to do is beat the Chiefs, and then they're in, and then they beat the Bengals too, and they've got the division sewn up. Best case scenario right now for them is a 3 or a 4 seed. I believe if they went out, they would get the 3 seed as long as Dallas beats Indianapolis. I think it's next week. I believe that's the case, but in any event, the difference between a 3rd and a 4th seed is minimal at best. I mean, you're still playing in the opening round. It's just that, you know, you get a home game is pretty much all it amounts to.
Yeah, that's it. You get a home game. And I guess for Steelers fans, if we assume that New England's the 1 and Denver would be the 2, we would go to New England rather than go to Denver. And frankly, either of those places have been a house of horrors. So I guess I'm just not going to worry about it yet, Matt. I just want to see this team get a win at home. I think we're going to have a crazy good crowd on Sunday. We haven't had one of those in a while. This is a chance for the Steelers team. I think they took a major step in proving some people wrong by proving they can win games they're supposed to. Now comes the tough part. Can you do it at home? They've got two bad losses at home this year to New Orleans and Tampa Bay. You know, so can they get this win at home? And I think it goes a long way towards solidifying a lot of things, including Mike Tomlin, who you and I were pretty much riding out of town earlier this year, and not to the point we wanted him fired, but just, you know, to make some necessary changes, and if he can get this team into the playoffs, it'll speak a lot for him, at least in my opinion.
Well, I think it will, too. And I mean, regardless of what the Steelers finish now, whether they win the last two or lose the last two, he's got to be breathing at least a small sigh of relief, knowing that the Steelers will at least be over 500 this year. You know, the outcry, even if they were to finish with only 9 wins, would still be bad. But, you know, to finish 8-8 would have been a hell of a lot worse, actually, I think, because then you're actually talking about, you know, three non-winning seasons in a row. But yeah, so I think right now Tomlin has to be breathing a little bit easier, but obviously things are far from done. Anything can happen yet. But as far as this game goes, of course, the Steelers going on the road in the dome. You know, I think you and I were fully prepared for this team to blow this opportunity. But, you know, it wasn't easy. But, you know, when Le'Veon was kind of held in check, at least to some degree, as far as yardage goes, you know, Ben was able to pick up the passing game and the Steelers were able to pull it out late. Let's just talk a little bit about the Steelers offense right now. I mean, this team right now, you know, I think the Todd Haley era of running the Steelers offense, they are just firing on all cylinders. I mean, the offense right now averaging 424 yards a game, 306 passing yards, 118 rushing yards, 27.8 points. I mean, those are numbers that any team would be proud of right now. And, you know, numbers that we're not used to seeing. I mean, Ben just having a phenomenal year, could even possibly hit the 5,000 passing yard mark. Which is not, you know, basically, I think he just needs to average slightly over 300 yards the last two games, am I right, to get to 5,000?
A little less, actually. I think he's about 5, what did I see today? I think it's 532, 542, something like that.
Yeah, right now he has 4,415 passing yards for the season, 29 touchdowns and 8 picks, which is just phenomenal.
Yeah. Look. It's just been an incredible offensive explosion. I mean, I know it's hard. I've not been a Haley guy.
But me neither.
I still, there's a lot that I see that I'm just like scratching my head over. But you can't deny facts, and you can't deny that Roethlisberger is on the verge of his best season ever at the age of 32. You can't deny that Le'Veon Bell is breaking all the Steelers' records for running backs within his first two seasons. You can't deny what Antonio Brown's doing and the nice season that Heath Miller's having and the rookie Martavis Bryant's having. You can't deny those things. They're in front of our face, and we can talk ad nauseum about how much we dislike Haley, but you can't deny these things. And, you know, I think Ben had the kind of game on Sunday that really went kind of unnoticed by a lot of the national media because he didn't have any interceptions and he didn't have any touchdown passes. But he only threw 9 incompletions, I think, in what was it, 37 throws and 300-plus yards again. He's playing pretty darn well. I mean, you take out that New Orleans game where he looked pretty awful in the first half and then, you know, had a ton of numbers in garbage time. But, the offense is just, if they can protect him this week, which is a tall order because Kansas City gets after the quarterback, there's no reason this team can't score another 30 points this week and put up another 400 yards in total offense.
Yeah, Ben was 27 of 35 for 353 yards. Le'Veon was 22 attempts for 45 yards rushing, but of course he also had – or no, I'm sorry, excuse me. Let me check that. 97 yards. I just think right now they are absolutely capable of putting up points on anybody. The problem is, can they be consistent enough, you know, week in and week out? We started to see them come together now. Of course, they beat Atlanta, you know, they can certainly win these last two games, regardless of whether they're playing at home or on the road. I mean, playing Kansas City and Cincinnati are both winnable games, but, you know, this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where everything comes down to. If they don't win these games, they're going to squander the golden opportunity that, you know, so many teams would kill for right now. I like where they're going, especially on offense. I have all the confidence in the world that if they execute the way that they have been and the way that they're capable of, I would put them up against anyone in the league. But we know that things don't always turn out that way. So I am moderately confident in this team right now, but I'm still not holding my breath.
No, I don't think you can because, I mean, you know, the defense is still the defense. Yes. you had the William Gay pick six, which really was the play of the game, and he's, you know, don't let that overshadow the fact that he's had a very up and down year. You know, he's been burned a lot too this year, and I think, you know, he's a great guy. He's up for the NFL Man of the Year award. He'll be the Steelers representative, but he's had some down moments too, and that whole secondary has, obviously. But that's the problem, and you alluded to it, Matt. You know, the offense, if the offense gets bogged down, the team's in trouble, because this defense against better offenses than what they saw on Sunday is going to score points in the red zone. I mean, they were very much bend, don't break all day Sunday, and it ended up working for them. But that's not going to work against these better teams. I mean, Kansas City's very good in the red zone, even though they don't throw to their wide receivers at all down there. So that leads me to, well, what do the Steelers do terribly? Well, cover tight ends, and that's who Kansas City throws the ball to in the red zone. So this is far from over. I certainly hope we're talking about playoffs next week at this time, but we have to be realistic here. If the defense can't make some stops and keep getting some turnovers, you know, it's going to fall all on the offense to score 30, 35 points each and every week, and that, you just can't have that going into the playoffs. I mean, you know, look what happened to Denver. I mean, they were a juggernaut and got absolutely squeezed in the Super Bowl. You just can't live that way.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I think with this defense, I'm scared to death that if the offense gets shut down, that, you know, we have to rely on this defense. And, you know, it's actually kind of funny, and I don't have the stats in front of me to back this up, but I got a hunch that with Will Gay's three pick sixes this year, right? He has three of them?
Yep, three.
That's probably more than Ike Taylor has had in his entire career, dude.
I'm just saying. I think you're right. I'll have to go back and look, but I think you're onto something there.
Like I'm saying, I mean, I'm not going to say that's guaranteed, because I don't have the stats in front of me, and I wanted to look it up before the show, but
right.
I didn't have time. But I'm thinking, you know, 3 in 1 year, I mean, that's going to make Ike Taylor just be like, oh, my God, seriously.
Well, first of all, Ike has trouble catching the damn ball. So, I mean, the fact of whether or not he's actually going to be able to return one for a touchdown, you know, he's got to be able to carry the pigskin first.
I know, right? Yeah. But I just think it's funny. You're right. I mean, the secondary is an obvious issue.
Yeah.
It's going to be an Achilles heel for them, so they're going to have to be really reliant on the offense to really, you know, kind of help carry them, which is, you know, which leads me into my next point. And I saw this tweet, I think it was today. Yeah, I'm looking at it here. This is from Jerry Dulac. It says, the Steelers lead the NFL with 142 fourth quarter points, and Ben leads the league with 1,310 yards and 10 TDs in the fourth quarter. I mean, that's pretty freaking phenomenal. That's where, you know, this is a team where you can never count them out, and thank goodness, because the way the defense is this year, which we'll get to them in a sec, yeah, it's nice to know the offense can turn it on, especially late in the game when they have to.
Well, and again, I'm going to do it, much as I hate it, I'm going to credit Haley for this, and maybe it's Mike Tomlin, too. I don't know who's making these decisions. But we saw this again on Sunday. These guys are going for the throat now. And this is something that the Steelers have never really been known for in the fourth quarter. You know, they did it against Baltimore when they had, you know, the third or fourth and short, trying to kill the game. And instead of just pounding the ball like the Steelers of old would have done, they play actioned it, and Ben hit Matt Spaeth for a touchdown. And then this past week he hits Heath Miller for a long play on a third and short, you know, to ice the game. They, and even before that, they were throwing the ball a little bit, you know, with about 3 minutes, 2.5 minutes to go. That tells me they need to win the game, and they need to do it by being aggressive. So whether it's Haley, Tomlin, whether it's Ben just sticking his nose in and saying, guys, let's just get it done, let's do it this way, I don't care what it is, but that's part of that you know, Jerry Dulac comment about the fourth quarter numbers. They're being aggressive, and yeah, they've had to, you know, there's been some garbage time stuff against the Saints, and there's been some other times where they were in tight games and Ben needed to throw the ball well in the fourth quarter, but I love the aggressiveness, and I hope it keeps up.
Yeah, I do as well, and I think it's important for them to stay aggressive given the problems on the defense right now. So speaking of the defense here, and you know how much I cannot stand Jason Worlds. The guy's been driving me nuts for years, but he got so unbelievably robbed in that game of the sack. I mean, that was textbook, picture perfect, you know, seeing what you're hitting, wrapping up the QB. I mean, that was just, it was a beautiful sack. And it was just, you know, the referees now, and I was listening to Sirius today, and Pat Kerwin was talking about it. He said these guys are just so, they're so trained to call the flag now, they're afraid to not call it. And that was such a bad call because it was a perfect sack.
I don't want to see these games take any longer, and I don't want to see I can't stand instant replay. I even when it works, I hate it. I believe as long as the game's played by people, you call it by people, and they're going to make mistakes just like the players do. But my God, you have got to have a review on that and be able to say, look, he makes, as you said, Matt, a perfect form tackle. And Mike Golic this morning on Mike and Mike made a fantastic point. You know, it's, his wife is on this heads-up NFL committee that Goodell put together about teaching proper technique and everything. And he said, you would normally, if there wasn't a flag there, you would take that tackle and you would go show kids all over the country because he wraps up. He sees what he hits. He puts his face mask right into the chest of the in this case, the quarterback, and he drives through with his hands wrapped around to the ground. That is a football tackle, and it has been since the game was invented. And, I mean, the frustration, and to credit Mike Tomlin, he just said, hey, I don't have time to wait for apologies from New York. But the point is, they've got to be able to review that. As much as I hate to say that, because that was a game changer at that point. You know, that was a sack, a loss of a down in yardage, and then what happens? They get to 15 yards, they go down, score a touchdown. So again, man, as much as I hate it, they gotta do something, and you're right about the officials. They're afraid not to call it.
Yeah, and that's what this game has become now. You know, there's so much over-officiating and so many rules that as an official, you cannot possibly keep everything straight in your head. I mean, I don't care how much you study or how much you're on the field. You know, some things are a judgment call. Yeah. And I'm going to say 5-10 years ago, that's not called as an illegal hit. Absolutely not.
Not even close.
No. And it pains me because I've always been a defensive guy. You know, I would rather see a defense, you know, get a couple interceptions and a bunch of sacks and fumble recoveries, then they've seen offense score 40 points. That's just how I like to watch the game. And it pains me because I mean, as soon as he hit it, every Steeler fan knew that the flag was going to be flying. You know, it's just like the old, you know, James Harrison thing where the official's reaching for the flag before the hit's even done because he knows he's going to call it. That kind of stuff, it's what makes me so irritated about the NFL now. Because as a defensive player, it must just drive you bananas. No matter how much you're supposed to be quote unquote used to the league now and playing within the rules, when you make such an amazing sack that just, you know, fires up your team and it gets you all fired up, and then you get penalized for it, it has to drive you bananas.
Well, it does. We're way past. Let us get a quick break from our sponsor here, Matt, and then I got a question for you on the other side. Hey, Steelers fans, the holidays are fast approaching. And you know what that means. It means turkey and stuffing and gravy and pumpkin pie and everything else that goes with the holidays. If you want to avoid putting on that 10 or 15 pounds that comes with this sort of thing, get over to our friends at Body Tech Gym in North Hills, Pittsburgh. They're open 24 hours, 7 days a week. They offer all kinds of stuff like group fitness, personal training, weight training, silver sneakers. There's tanning, and there's a juice bar there. Right now, get yourself online, and you can save $75. There's absolutely no joining fee right now if you join up with Body Tech online right now. They are located 1130 Perry Highway in North Hills, and tell them Steel City Blitz sent you. Okay, once again, thanks to our sponsor there, Body Tech Gym in Pittsburgh. We're talking a little bit about the Jason Worlds hit here, which, of course, was a textbook hit on Matt Ryan, a sack, and then it was taken away because of the unnecessary roughness nature. Doesn't college football have a rule now where if a player is deemed to target, and that's what that would have been, I believe, in college football, don't they have a replay where they look at it and say, yes, he did, or no, he didn't, and if he does target, he's thrown out? I think that's the rule.
I think you are correct. I'm not going to say 100% for sure, but that sounds right. But in any event, the fact is that if we're going to have instant replay, which is debatable to begin with, yeah. I mean, you know, you don't like it. I can, there are some ways I like it, but other ways I don't. And I think if you're going to have it, but not use it to its fullest extent, then why the hell do you even have it?
Well,
you know, I mean, there are situations where, you know, I mean, you absolutely should be able to review, you know, a hit like that, you know, or any hit that's, in my opinion, if you're going to call a personal foul, then the coach should have the option to challenge it. Because, you know, had that been looked at by the booth, it absolutely would have been overturned. And that's where, you know, the way this NFL is, where they're so worried about slowing down the game, but they're not worried about making the calls right. So, you know, if you're going to have it, use it all or don't have it at all. That's my opinion.
That's a great point you just made. Worried about the speed of the game yet not getting the calls right. And that's kind of the onus of my whole point with instant replay. There's still too many problems. There's still too many mistakes. You know, I would be all for doing scoring plays, but the rest of it is just, it's gotten ridiculous. But anyway, we digress. Let's move on. Chiefs coming in this weekend. I mean, are we going to need to score 35 points here, Matt?
I'm going to tell you probably not. But yeah, I mean, the Chiefs always play us tough. I mean, yeah. There's no doubt whether you're you know, in Arrowhead or whether you're at Heinz Field, this is never a gimme, no matter what their record is or what our record is. I don't know that it's going to take 35 points to beat this team. You know, they're not necessarily a high scoring offense. You know, they're not very prolific. They've always been kind of a throwback to the way the Steelers always were, where it's, you know, run the ball, you know, play good defense, use the play action of the tight ends, all that type of thing. So if we can put up 35, I'd almost say that we're going to win for sure. But, you know, stranger things have happened. I would probably call this game. I'm going to say it's probably going to be a bit closer just because I'm still worried that this team is going to blow their opportunity, but I fully expect them to win, but I don't think it's going to take 35 to win.
Yeah. And I'm not sure that it will either. I think it might be a game in the 20s. You know, Chris, our other writer at Steel City Blitz, put up a piece today about, you know, did Atlanta find a blueprint for slowing down Le'Veon Bell in terms of the run? I mean, I went back and watched the first half yesterday, and I couldn't believe how often the Falcons put literally 9 guys within 5-6 yards of the line of scrimmage, and it just became overwhelming, and I don't know why Haley didn't go to a little more spread, a little more pass earlier, but, you know, will Kansas City do that? That's not really what they do. But you got to believe that Mike Munchak is going to be working with that offensive line on how to deal with those overload situations. And I would expect Bell to bounce back a little bit in the running game, which is probably a good thing. But at the same time, Ben's going to have to be able to throw the ball too.
Well, and that's where you like to have a guy like Ben there because, you know, if you're going to sell out to stop the run and put 8 or 9 guys in the box, then obviously you're leaving your cornerbacks exposed, which is where, you know, obviously Ben can hurt you. So that's where it's good to have a veteran guy who can take advantage of that. I would not be surprised to see the Chiefs load up the box to try and stop Le'Veon. But given the fact that Ben shredded them pretty well, even though there wasn't touchdown score necessarily, he picked up the passing game to keep, you know, the yard or to keep the drives going. This is finally a team where you can't load up to stop the run and force Ben to beat you because he can beat you, or you know drop everybody back and try and let Le'Veon beat you because he can obviously beat you. So I like that they're versatile enough to win in either way. But I think for once, the Steelers are really a team where they have a double-edged sword where you can't take one away and then expect to win, you know, because you just – Ben can beat you, Le'Veon can beat you. It just – they're really a multifaceted offense when they're firing on all cylinders.
And I think we have to mention the emergence, too, in a combination type way of both Marcus Wheaton and Martavis Bryant this weekend. You know, that's been a question. I know Hines Ward had questioned that, you know, a little bit. Are they going to be able to find a guy that is consistent enough on the other side of Antonio Brown? And I think they proved that they can do that. Now, can they keep that consistency going? against some different corners and a completely different defense, I don't know. But certainly Heath Miller is going to be a part of that. And, you know, so I think that's a really good sign going forward. And we saw less Darius Hayward-Bey. I don't think he's much of the offensive plan anymore. And you know, we saw a little bit of Lance Moore. But I think those three guys, along with Heath Miller, I mean, that's the receiving core right now. And I guess the one positive is if anybody does go down, Justin Brown's getting enough playing time this year at the beginning to where I think he'd be okay if he had to come in. But we certainly don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, let's not jinx ourselves any more than we probably already have by hyping him up.
We're good at that.
Yeah, I know, right? You know what's funny? Before we start to wrap this up here, I was glancing over some stats while you were talking, and the disparity between Antonio Brown and everybody else in the receiving department is, I think, 2-1 at the minimum. Like, the next closest person in receiving yards is Le'Veon Bell. Can you, like, seriously? I mean, yeah. Antonio Brown, 1,498 receiving yards. Le'Veon Bell, 765 receiving yards. The next closest person would be Heath at 652, and then Wheaton with 600. I mean, that's just, I mean, and Brown is amazing, but holy crap.
Well, it is. It really is an amazing set of stats to look at, you know, and I go back to what Tomlin said today in the presser. You know, he was asked about teams doing different things to Antonio Brown, and Tomlin basically said, we've seen everything, and he still finds ways to beat the opposition. You know, he and Ben have a fantastic relationship. You know, yeah, occasionally they might read the wrong thing, but they have a great rapport with each other in terms of where the ball's going to be, what route needs to be run. And I think, you know, the other thing you mentioned, Bell with being second with 700-plus yards, you know, if I'm a defensive coordinator, you know, am I going to, you know, basically waste a guy to guard him in the passing game? Because if I do, now I'm really opening up those other two receivers on the other side, Bryant and Wheaton, and certainly Heath Miller. You know, that's why Bell is so darn dangerous. I mean, if they want to choose to double on Brown and sit safeties over the top, then that's just going to keep opening stuff up for Bell. And I'm really kind of disturbed. I know we're homers, Matt, but I don't know why he isn't getting more MVP consideration. I mean, the guy's numbers are ridiculous.
You know what? I was thinking that too, and it's almost like if you've got a Manning and a Brady in the league, it's almost like nobody else matters.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe on the defensive side, you know, you have a J.J. Watt is still in there, but I mean, you're right. I mean, Le'Veon Bell, and just to kind of back that up here, his in the rushing department, like he's got 262 rushes for 1,278 yards and 7 TDs rushing. Yeah. The next closest or the next Steeler in the rushing department is Big Ben with 28 yards rushing. I mean, it's like he is obviously the workhorse. He carries the load. He can power back it. He can scamper and be elusive. The guy's just incredible. But I think it's funny that most teams, you know, the backup running back will have maybe, you know, a few hundred yards on the season. There's nobody that's even close to 100 yards behind Bell. Like, it's not even anywhere. Nobody even has 50 yards.
No, I don't know that I've ever seen that before. I don't know that I've ever seen such a disparity between the top rusher and the second rusher. I don't even know what to say about that.
It's just crazy. Like, it really is.
Stay healthy, young man. Stay healthy.
Yeah, I mean, that guy, and I mean, he's young, so obviously he feels like he can keep carrying the load, but clearly some type of backup running back is going to have to be in order, you know, for the next offseason, regardless of what happens this year, because, you know, I mean, you'll wear this guy out if you keep up this kind of a pace. But, you know, in any event, let's start to shut it down here. Just give me, like, a quick prediction for this week's game. You know, how confident are you that they're actually going to pull this out? Doesn't matter whether they blow him out or whether they win by one.
It does not matter, Matt. We need to find a win here, and I, you know, Mike Tomlin feels that these young guys took a huge step in the last 2 weeks, and I'm going to be with them. I think the Steelers will pull out a very close game here. Don't forget, the Chiefs need to win. They cannot afford another loss. They're chasing San Diego in their own division. They're dealing with these three teams in the AFC North for a wild card spot. It's a must win for them, so they will leave everything on the table And quite frankly, I think the Steelers should go in the same way. Get into the playoffs and then worry about next week. I think we're looking at a game where there's a little bit of everything. You know, Kansas City does run the ball fairly well. They're very efficient in the passing game with Alex Smith. He's not going to make too many mistakes. He's got good feet, so he's going to cause the Steelers defense a little bit of problems there. I think the Steelers find a way to win this. I'm going to say somewhere in the neighborhood of like 26-23.
Yeah, I'll go along with that. I think it's going to be relatively low scoring compared to what they've done, throughout this year on some occasions. I think maybe they come back to earth a little bit this week, just like last week. Maybe, I don't foresee them putting up another 40 or 50 points. It's possible. I would love it. Yeah. But I think this one will be a little bit more close scoring just because they generally play a tough the Chiefs pretty tough. So yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I think they can pull it out. I hope they can pull it out. And, with any luck, then we'll be sitting here next week, knock on wood, talking about how they are in the playoffs, and then we're going to see what happens. But, again, I'm not going to jinx this. We're just going to shut up now and sign off for the night. So thanks, everyone, for listening to the SCB Steeler Fan Podcast presented by Body Tech. Thanks for listening to the SCB Steelers Fan Podcast. Sponsored by Body Tech Gym in North Hills, Pittsburgh. Check them out online at bodytech-gym.com or call 412-364-7334. If you'd like to be a guest on the show or have a question for us to discuss, hit us up on Twitter at scblitz or on steelcityblitz.com and use the contact us option on the right side of the homepage. SteelCityBlitz.com is an independent fan site not affiliated with the Pittsburgh Steelers or the National Football League. Our opinions are our own.